We have a subject that I feel is very, well, I know it's a very serious thing to consider tonight. I want to talk about the final judgment. I know that this isn't something that we think about a lot. At least some people don't. But the fact of it is that there will be a final judgment. Yes. The Bible tells us that.
Yes.
I was thinking about a prudent man. They tell us as we get older and we have children and possessions that it's a prudent thing to get a will drawn up. A will designates where you want your earthly possessions to go when you leave this world. Maybe everyone doesn't believe we ought to have one, but it can cost, and you can lose a lot of your possessions in court nowadays. So I feel that it's a wise thing to do that if you have a desire to. But I think more importantly tonight that it's important. We have something that is much more valuable than any earthly possession, and that is our soul. And I want to ask, I want you to consider tonight, what kind of agreement, what kind of a will do you have made up between you and God? The Bible tells us that every man is going to give an account of every deed that's been done in this body. And I believe that's so. The Bible says it. I believe it. I'd like for us to consider my first scripture tonight in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. I want to read part of two verses. 19th verse. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This is God speaking to His people. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days. Writer, I believe it was the Apostle Paul that says He gives unto every one of us life and breath and all things. I feel like there's a lot of people that don't consider that. Maybe don't give God the credit and the praise for life. Life's very precious to us, isn't it? I think we all enjoy life, enjoy living. And Jesus, or God sent His Son, Jesus, into this world that we could not only live here, but that we could live, have life everlasting after this world is over. Now, sometimes we don't like to think of death, but nevertheless, it's not a matter of if you're going to die, it's a matter of when.
Yes, it's true.
Because every one of us, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, there's a judgment. Well, I'd like for us to consider that very seriously this evening. Because every one of us will bow before the Lord, and we will be judged by Him at that great day, the day of all days. But as of right now, I want to present to you that God has set before you life and death. He set before you blessing and cursing. But He says, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. You know, I find it very difficult to accept that if you're not living for God, if you don't know God, if you haven't chose Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you're not choosing life. What you are doing is existing in this world right now. You're existing from day to day. And yet, God, the Bible says, reigns on the just, blessings on the just and the unjust. And He blesses us to get up day after day and enjoy life and go about life and do what we want to do with life and enjoy the pleasures of life. But yet there will come a day when that life will be over.
Yes.
And so tonight, the Bible, the Scripture says for us to choose. You have a choice.
Yes.
And I want to say right straight out tonight that you tell God no and He will accept that. We have the power or the ability to say no to God and He accepts that. But it's not a wise choice. He said, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Tonight, if we accept the Lord, we're choosing life. If we reject the Lord and we hold that position until we draw our last breath, we have chose death, eternal damnation. Believe it or not, folks, there is going to be eternal damnation someday. Whenever the time is no more and Jesus comes back and calls this world to judgment, as the Bible says, you know, the preacher doesn't come up with these ideas. The Bible says these things. The Bible tells us what is going to be at the end time. And so I want you to understand that it's not some kind of a fairy tale that I've made up in my mind, something that I'm trying to scare you with or whatever, how you want to perceive it. But it's something that's a reality that every one of us is going to face. Every one of us will not get out of this world alive. And yet, after death, the Bible says there's judgment. So, I want you to ask yourself tonight, what are you choosing? Are you choosing the pleasures of life? Are you choosing the world? Are you choosing to go about your day and do what you want to do and live the way you want to live? Satisfy yourself the way you want to satisfy yourself? I'm going to tell you tonight, I've been there and I've done that. And I also know that living that kind of life does not satisfy the real hungering and yearning that you have in your heart. The real yearning that you have to be satisfied.
Yes.
There's only one thing that can satisfy the yearning in a man's heart and soul, and that is God.
Yes.
The only thing that can satisfy you. Yes. You can look for pleasures, you can look for things out in this world, all you want to look for them, but the only thing that will ever satisfy is Jesus.
Yes.
The only thing. So He said here, He called heaven and earth to record against us tonight. God created the heavens and the earth, and He gave life. He created mankind, and He gave life to every one of us. He's calling His creation to record against you and I tonight. And the question is, what are you going to choose?
Yes.
Are you going to choose life? Are you going to choose death? The Bible tells us in one place to teach us, Lord, He said, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I want to exhort you tonight to apply your hearts to wisdom, to consider your ways and consider your days, because as much as sometimes we think that we may live forever and we're just going to take one day after another, I want to tell you tonight, one day your days will be over. Our days are numbered. And the writer said, teach us to number our days. And I want to encourage you tonight to apply your hearts to wisdom. Because it is only wisdom, folks. You and I will be, we're made subject to a higher being.
Yes.
We were made subject to a mighty God. He is the Creator. He has the right. He has the say-so. Heaven belongs to God because God is in heaven. And God has created this world for you and I to live in. But it's a temporary world that we live in. And I want us to all consider that tonight by the help of the Lord. Number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. I've been very foolish in my past. I spent a lot of years away from the Lord, as many others have. But when the Lord came along and had mercy on my soul and I answered and I accepted and I received Him into my heart and life, it's been a whole different life for all of us, hasn't it? Those of us tonight that have accepted the Lord, it's a whole different life. But I want to consider some of the lies that the enemy tells people. And I know they're lies. For one thing, he tells people, you can't live that way. It's foolish to try to live that way. You've got too many things that you love in this world. Too many things that you want to do. Oh, I'm going to do it someday, but I'm going to put it off until I've enjoyed all the pleasures that I want to enjoy in life. And the devil comes along and says, you can't live that way. Some folks that have gone so deep in sin, he comes along and says, you've gone so far and so deep that there's no way back. He tells people those things too. And I want to consider something tonight in the light of the condition of the world that is around us. In the light of the condition of broken homes and broken lives. And I want you to listen to this lie real close. The devil loves to come along and tell people, God wants you to be happy. This is a lie of all lies. I've heard it many times. God wants me to be happy, and I'm happy. Let me give you a scripture that says in 3 John, the second verse, that says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight. Young people, middle-aged, and every one of us here tonight. God does want us to be happy. But our happiness depends on us choosing life. It depends on us choosing God. It depends on us choosing God's way. It depends on us living for God and loving God and following God. It depends on those things. But when I take my own selfish way in life, and when I want to go out and do something, and I put this little lie, the devil comes along, it's a great lie, and puts this lie in my mind and says that I'm happy in what I'm doing and God wants me to be happy, let me tell you folks, that very lie will take your very soul to hell. It'll drain you of all the reality and understanding of who God is and what God's Word says and what it teaches. And folks, it will take you straight to hell. God does want us to be happy. But there is a way that God has provided for us that you and I can be happy. But folks, when we take our own way, and it is a selfish way, and we take up a path that draws us and takes us away from God, and it just makes me happy, and so we put God around it, God wants me to be happy, I want to tell you that's a lie that is straight from hell tonight. And I know the devil's telling a lot of people that. Are you happy? Do you know God?
Yes.
If you don't know God, you're fooling yourself.
Yes.
You're fooling yourself. Because I know, I've been there. I've been through that part of my life. And if you're not happy tonight, it's because you don't know God. And if you're happy and you think you're happy and you don't know God, you're not happy. But it's a lie that you're accepting that the devil has been feeding you. Lord, have mercy on us tonight. Lord, have mercy. He said for us to love the Lord our God, thou may obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. Folks, I know there's people here tonight. There's folks that are living for God, and I'm sure thankful for that. I know there's folks here tonight that are endeavoring to do all that God is requiring of them. All they know and understand. And that's what God requires, of what we know and understand. But folks, I also know tonight that there are souls that don't know God here. I know that God is still calling. I've been praying for this meeting, and one of the things that I have been burdened for is conviction. It seems that in this day and age, there is a great lack of conviction. The Word of God can go forth like it did last night. Speaking of time and how to use our time wisely and prepare for eternity. And yet, the conviction I don't know about, I can't speak for everybody, but I've been among the saints all my life. I've sat among the preaching and the teaching all my life, ever since I was a little boy. And I remember being in services when there was conviction upon the Word of God. And not only upon the Word of God, but there was conviction upon the hearts of the people. But I have to be honest with you, I don't feel the conviction. I don't feel the conviction like I once did. I believe God is still preserving the world because He wants to save souls. I believe that.
Yes.
But the conviction and a wonder. And I want you to consider, is it possible? You know, have you ever been grieved? Have you ever been hurt? Well, God gets grieved too. And God gets hurt too. And down through all these years that people turn their back on God and get satisfied in their own ways and living their own life and doing their own thing, you think that doesn't hurt? You think that doesn't grieve God? I believe because I see it. I see God drawing back the conviction upon the hearts of men. It is very difficult to convict someone that they need something when they already believe they got what they want. It's hard to do that. When they believe that they're right and they're living the way that they want to live, and it's hard to convince them that they need to change. And God will not force anyone to do anything. As I said in the beginning, if you tell God no, God will accept that. But folks, God's looking down on your heart. And He's looking down on your life tonight. He knows right where we are. He knows right where we are before Him. He knows the condition of our hearts. He knows the condition of our minds. He knows the condition of our lives.
Yes, He does.
And He wants honesty. He wants us to be honest with Him. God's been honest with us. He's given us His Word. And He's told us just how things are to be. And He has a right to do that because He's God. He's our Creator. He has a right to tell us how He wants us to live. If God hadn't given the children of Israel the Ten Commandments back in those days, man would not know what moral life really was. He wouldn't know what pure morals were if God hadn't told us what morals were. But yet, we know what morality is, don't we? We know it's being living pure, living holy, living righteous, doing good things, doing the right thing. But look around us today. Look at our country. Look at the world around us today. How many are living that way? Folks, we've lost the way of morality.
That's true.
We've lost that. We've lost integrity. People not doing the things that they know that they ought to do. We've lost respect for God today. That's what we've lost. We've lost the fear of God, haven't we? People don't fear God anymore, but I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, that one of these days that people, every one of us, will stand before God or kneel before God at the judgment, and we will fear Him at that great and awful day. When that day comes, when that time comes, there will be a fear of God like man never had upon his heart in his life. But it'll be too late for many to fear God. The Bible says to fear God, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Honestly, can we ask ourselves tonight, are we doing that? Well, I know what the Word says and I know what the Word teaches. Am I living that way? Am I doing what I know is right, or am I walking over that? Am I taking my own way? Am I walking down my own path? There's a lot of my's out there today. A lot of people doing it their way. But folks, we must do it God's way. I want to move along to Proverbs, the first chapter. Proverbs 1. I have used this from time to time for this purpose. Verse 10. Listen to what the wise man says. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do you know I've watched in my lifetime people grow up, children grow up, especially boys. And I've known them to be good young boys. I've known them to care. I've known them to want to obey. I've known them to want to do things right. And I've seen some of them get involved with the wrong people. I've seen some get involved with the wrong crowd. I know one young man that was, when he was a young boy, he was a sweet young boy. And he was obedient to his parents. And he was tender-hearted. But as he got into his early teenage years, he hooked up with a friend in his neighborhood. And the friend got him involved in all kinds of different things. And the next thing that they knew, the family knew, the policemen were coming knocking on the door. They were checking out these things. They were checking out those other things. And that young man got involved with this fella, and this fella got him in all kinds of trouble. Wasn't like that until he got involved with him. Well, he eventually, the family was able to get him away from this influence, and he eventually got his life straightened out. But you know the young man that he was, that got him into all that trouble? I'm talking 35 years ago. He's still in prison today. That young man's still in prison. He was destined for trouble. He was destined to do wrong. Something within his mind, in his heart, in his makeup, that he always wanted to do things that he knew that he shouldn't do. Folks, we can get involved with the wrong people, in the wrong crowd, and they can take us down a path straight to hell if we're not careful. They can influence us. They can draw us away from the things we know to be right. The things that we once believed and that we once cared about, that was once important to us. Be careful who you get involved with. Be careful who you make league with or friends with. Because he said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Lord, help us tonight to have wisdom. Lord, help us to hear what the Word of the Lord says. Lord, help us to listen when He speaks to our hearts.
Amen.
He said in verse 20, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets." I'm going to slip on down here to the 24th verse. "Because I have called and ye refused." Anyone here tonight ever felt the calling of the Lord upon your heart, but you didn't accept it? You refused it? And you still haven't given your heart and life to the Lord? "Because I've called," this is God speaking to us, "and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." You know, we're going to get to some scripture on the final judgment. But I want to tell you tonight that when that time comes, there's no mercy. God's not going to change His mind. God's going to do what God said He was going to do. "I will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh." You get in trouble in this world, you come down with a sickness, affliction, you have accidents, you find yourself in comas and hospitals and all these terrible places, and you didn't expect it. "Lord, I didn't expect those kind of things." Remember, several years ago, it's been probably 15 to 20 years ago, I remember coming down here, called down here to preach the funeral of the young man that got hit in the van head on. The funeral with a closed casket. Some of you remember that? He didn't expect to go out into eternity. What was he, 19, 20 years old? 19? 18? He didn't expect it. He was taking a ride with his friend that night, and God called him. Did I hear someone say last night about God saying, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required"? We don't know. We may get to pillow our heads tonight, but we don't know that we'll wake up tomorrow. And when we leave here and this meeting is over and where some of us are going home, we don't know if we'll make it home or not. We don't know those things. God, those things are in God's hands. Those things are in His ways, folks. He has the controls of those things. You and I, our position and our place and our responsibility is to get things right with God, that when that time comes, we can meet Him in peace. Because I called and you refused. And you said it, not at all my counsel, and with none of my reproof, I'm going to laugh at you. You think God would do that? Most of us, if not all of us, even the young children, have heard that God is love. I want to tell you tonight, God is love. But God is a wrathful God too. And the Scriptures are full of His wrath. And every place that His love goes, His wrath goes. Every place. God sees everything tonight. He knows the hard hearts. He knows the hard lives that people are living. There's a Scripture that's coming to my mind. He that being often reproved, 29th chapter of Proverbs, first verse. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Now, folks, there's a lot of things that God gives us control over here in this life. A lot of things that we can make happen. Some things that, you know, if it doesn't just happen, we can make it happen. There's a lot of things that we can do, especially in our youth when we got our strength and we got a good young mind. There's a lot of things that we can do. But I want to tell you tonight, God can do greater things than you can. And God's going to stand by His Word. And He's going to do what He says. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon Me, but I will not answer. Do you realize that you can put God off so many times that you can call and He won't answer? You can do that. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. You can reject God just so long. You can reject God just so many times. What are you going to do tonight? Some may be thinking that, you know, I'm going to get right with God before I die. I sure don't want to go to hell. Do we still believe in hell tonight? The world is trying to get us to believe there's really no hell. Folks, there's a hell. Jesus spoke of hell many times. And you may be saying, I really do want to get it right. I really do. I don't want to go to hell. I want to get it right before God. But if God's not calling, folks, and you won't answer, you can't get it right. You can't get it right. We're dealing with God. God's not a toy, someone you can play with, someone you can challenge. But He's someone we need to respect.
Yes.
He's someone we need to fear. We need to have the respect before God. Thou shalt call on Me, but I will not answer. They'll seek Me, but they shall not find Me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And would none of My counsel, they despise all My reproof. Now, I understand and I know that in our modern society, in the United States of America, in the world that we live in today, I understand, folks, that people are so set with their own devices and taken in their own ways that God is the last thing they think they want in their life. But let me say this. When you come down to die, God is the first thing or the first one you will be calling on.
That's true.
There's people that have went out into this world in car accidents and in many other different accidents and ways, and one of the last words on their lip is, "My God, have mercy on me." Sometimes people don't even get the opportunity to utter those words. We're dealing with God tonight. I want you to understand that. I don't care how modern the world is. I don't care what they're teaching the young people in our schools today. I have learned just recently that in our colleges, in our country today, that the teachers are teaching against morality to our young people. They're teaching against being moral, living wholesome lives. They're teaching our young people, you don't need to do those kind of things. Let me tell you, folks, God is going to destroy that one of these days. He's going to destroy it. This country and world is getting more wicked all the time. It amazes me, and I know that it amazes many others, why God still allows it to go on. I have loved ones, and some of others, of you others have loved ones that we want to see saved. But folks, you can't trifle with God. You'll lose. You'll lose your soul if you trifle with God. I want to read another scripture. Revelation, 20th chapter. This is the scene, folks. This is the scene that God showed the Revelator of the last great day. You know, the plea tonight is to repent and to turn away from sin. And I've told you, don't believe the lies of the devil. Devil says you can't live that way. Devil says you can't do it. Well, you know, the devil's told me some things too, and I found them to be lies every time. The devil is a liar. But the Bible tells us also it is a fearful thing. You know, I could come to you, I could confront you, say it that way, with a gun in my hand and threaten to take your life. But the only thing I can do, if I chose to do that, would be to take your life. But when that life is gone, the soul is in God's hands, isn't it? And He told us not to fear the one that could take our lives, but to fear the one that could take our lives and destroy our souls in hell. Where is the fear tonight? Where is the concern? I know that everyone in this building tonight has heard these kind of words before, and there's still some that have not given their hearts and lives to God. And they're still living selfishly, doing their own thing, living their own way, walking their own life, and not giving their heart and life to God. Let me tell you tonight, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now listen to the scene. This is the final judgment scene. I want you to get it good in your minds tonight. The final judgment. He said, where do I want to start here? Let's start in the 11th verse. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, rich or poor, famous and unfamous, no matter who you were in this life, no matter what you did, no matter what you achieved or what you claimed to, I saw the dead, small and great. I saw every one of them stand before God, and the books were opened. How many of us tonight believe we're going to stand before God? I believe it. I believe it. Folks, I've trembled many times when I've considered my ways, when I knew that I wasn't where God wanted me to be. Folks, I'm not only talking to the sinners tonight, I'm talking to every one of us. If we've allowed anything to creep in, if we've allowed anything to hinder our relationship with God, folks, the dead, small and great, stand before God and the books are open. What a terrible day that's going to be for millions and millions of souls. Get a picture of it. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. You're judged according to your works. The preacher doesn't judge you. Your wife doesn't judge you. Your husband. You're judged by God, every one of us. He said, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know what the books are? The books. You know, we're enjoying life right now. We're here. Remember when the Lord told Peter, He said, you know, right now you're going where you want to go, doing what you want to do, but someday somebody's going to carry you somewhere where you don't want to go? Folks, when you leave this world, I heard, believe one of the ministers says, the tree falls, so shall it lie. You leave here a sinner, you're going to stand before God a sinner. You leave here with something that stands in your way between you and God, and you're going to meet God that way. And you're not going to have an opportunity to change it there. You can't change it there. You can't do anything about that there. The books were opened. I believe it's God's Word. I believe it's His eternal Word, folks. The Old Testament, those that lived under the Old Testament time, all the prophets and all the patriarchs of old and all those people that lived under the Old Testament time, they're going to be judged by the law that was given them. You and I, since the day of Christ, since He came into this world, you and I are going to be judged by what the New Testament teaches you and I. Yes. Remember what He said in one place? He said that back in Moses' day, He said that any man that would take another woman and take another man's wife and take her into himself, said he would commit adultery. But Jesus said, I say unto you, see, Jesus changed some things. He brought it down to a heart condition, folks. He brought it down to the heart. Any man look upon a woman and lust after her, he committeth adultery in his heart. Jesus said that. I didn't.
Yes, that's true.
Jesus said it. It's true, isn't it, brother?
Yes.
You and I are going to be judged by the New Testament. The books. The Old and the New Testament. I want to tell you, you and I are going to be much more responsible to the things that we know and understand and have been given to us in this generation than it was back in the time of the Old Testament. But it said another book was opened, didn't it? And that's the book of life. That's the book that has our names in it. And he goes down and he starts reading off the name, looking for your name, and it's not there. You know what happens then? When he tries to find your name and it's not there? Folks, I want to remind you. This scene is just as real as this scene right here tonight. This scene will be just as real someday as this scene right here tonight. Folks, why do we have these meetings? Why do we travel here and there? Why do the ministers pour their hearts out and preach the gospel? It's to help souls get ready to meet God. It's to help you and I be prepared for that great and awful day, the day of all days, the final judgment day, and it is coming. I have reason to believe that it's not all that far off. As I see the condition of man today, so, he said, they were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, death and the grave, were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, can I remind you tonight of someone that Jesus spoke of in the 15th or 16th chapter of Luke? He spoke, I believe it was the 16th chapter, of a rich man and Lazarus. We all know the story, don't we? That's just a story. Let me tell you something, folks. Do you know the difference between reality and a fairy tale? This isn't a fairy tale. This is a reality.
Yes.
Jesus said there was a certain rich man. When the rich man died, where did he find himself? In torment. It said when he died, he was buried and he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Anybody here tonight want to be in torment forever and ever and ever? You know, we do spend our time. We spend our life here in this time. But we don't spend eternity. Because eternity can't be spent. It is forever and ever and ever. And it goes on forever. We need to realize those things.
True.
We need to let that be a part of our consideration. Folks, I remember when I got saved. You know why I got saved? I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. But that's not why I'm saved tonight altogether. I stay saved because I've learned to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Folks, when you get to know Him, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you get to know Him, folks, you really get to know Him. You will learn to love Him, and you'll want to serve Him.
Yes, amen.
And He wants to bless you and bless your life. He wants to do those kind of things. Oh, I wish more people would taste. Yes. If you just get a taste of Him, folks, and see how precious that He really is. He'll make a difference in your life. He can help you turn your life around. He helped me turn my life around. He helped turn my home around. And I'm so grateful for that many years ago. But this rich man, being in torment, said he lifted up his eyes. Let me tell you folks tonight, that's not a good place to get your eyes open in torment. It's not a good place to get your eyes open in eternity.
That's right.
You better get them open now. You better realize this is a reality. This is not a fairy tale. And I know that it's hard for some people to wrap their minds around that because we live in such a fairy tale world today. Everybody says, and they live happily ever after. That's a fairy tale. Cinderella and all those other folks that Walt, the Disney play people have come up. Folks, that's fairy tales. The reality is there's going to be a final judgment.
Yes.
And we're everyone going to be judged out of the books.
Right.
Lazarus laid at this rich man's gate. When he died, he was carried to Abraham's bosom, wasn't he? Man of faith. He was carried to Abraham's bosom, and that rich man. He was able to see him. I don't know altogether what heaven and hell will be like as far as the people in hell being able to see the people in heaven. I don't know about that. But I believe that the rich man was in torments. I believe he was in a place of torment. And Lazarus was in paradise. And he was able to see him there. You know what he wanted? He wanted a drop of water. Just a little drop of water. How much water have you drank today? You get thirsty. He's in eternity tonight.
Yes.
Still wanting the drop of water to cool his tongue from the flames. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. Jesus spoke of that, those flames, many times, folks. He spoke of a place, he said, where the worm dieth not. That's the soul. where the soul never dies. And he said, the fire is not quenched. What are we going to do with that? We're going to play around with that? We're going to say, oh, that's not going to happen. It is going to happen. It is going to happen for millions of souls. That's what eternity is going to be. A place of eternal damnation in a devil's hell forever and ever. No one wants to go there. No one wants to experience that. But I'll say this again to stress my thought. Once you're there, you're there. Once you're in heaven, you're in heaven.
Yes.
But he said, I have set before you this day, tonight. Folks, he has set before us a choice.
Yes.
We all have the right to make our choice.
Yes.
But remember, the choice that you're making is an eternal choice. It has to do with the most precious possession you have.
That's right.
It has to do with where you are going to live in eternity. I don't know that, maybe I shouldn't call hell living, but it's where you're going to be if you don't get your heart right with God.
Yes.
You're going to be in eternity. I'd like to look at another scripture. See the clock. 2 Peter, we probably know this pretty well. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, tonight, if you were ignorant when you came, you won't be ignorant when you leave of this. You're going to know because you've said under the sound of God's word. Believe, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, time is, God doesn't measure time like you and I do. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. There it is. You know what God's will is? You have a will. Your will is the defender of your heart. You can sit there with a strong, stubborn will and say, I will not give my life to the Lord. But this is God's will. He's not willing that any should perish,
yes,
but that all men should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. Most of all, we don't know when He's coming back for us individually. We never know those things. I've done a lot of funerals in my time. We don't know when that time's going to be. But we know that the Lord is going to come sometime as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are in therein shall be burned up. How can all that happen? Folks, if you can't believe that, you don't believe God. God says it. I don't know altogether how He's going to do it, but if He said it, He's going to do it. And if He says, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yes.
It's going to happen. Melt with fervent heat, the earth, the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Lord, help me tonight to keep a watch over my soul, a watch over my life, to guard my soul and not allow the enemy to bring anything in that would cause me to be separated between me, from me and my God. Lord, help us tonight. The enemy is not going to probably work with the you saints in a great way. He's probably not going to try to get you to go back and do the things you did when you was out in sin. But folks, if he can get unforgiveness,
yes,
If he can cause you to be unkind, if he can cause you to have fits of patience, impatience, whatever he can do, whatever he can do to trip us up and cause us to lose our souls, because he knows how precious our soul is. God knows too, folks, and he's able to keep us. And I'm so thankful for that. He is able to keep us. There's one more scripture that I'd like to read. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul speaking here in verse 7 says, "To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire." Kind of hard to picture that, isn't it? "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." Folks, my vengeance is nothing compared to the vengeance of God. When God comes to bring vengeance upon lost souls, he's coming in flaming fire. Flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, I think, in my mind, that hell is an awful place. I think being on fire forever is an awful thing. But to be from the presence of God is the worst. If you look upon our society today and you see the falling and the failing of this nation, can you imagine what it would be like if God would completely withdraw himself and allow man to have their way with themselves? Folks, we would destroy ourselves completely in a short time. In a short time. All morals would be abandoned. All right would be set aside. And we would completely destroy ourselves from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I brought the song book up here tonight. I want to read a little bit of a song that's been very impressed upon my mind from time to time. Familiar? It was written by D.O. Teasley. We tell this from time to time. It's true. D.O. Teasley once did what I'm doing here tonight. He once preached the Word. He was a very intelligent man. Loved the Lord, knew the Lord, was blessed by the Lord, used of the Lord. God used him, blessed him to write many wonderful songs. And he wrote this song. Psalm 383 in our book. He wrote it. He said, "Drifting away from Jesus, far from his gentle fold, wrecked on the waves of sorrow out in the night so cold. Drifting away from Jesus, day after day I glide, swiftly the billows bear me over the surging tide. Drifting away from Jesus, helpless, tossed with care. Soon I shall land forever somewhere, and I don't know where." Makes me wonder, you know, D.O. Teasley didn't want the name of God mentioned in his presence when he was dying. The devil tripped him up. As far as we know tonight, he lost his soul at the end. But he wrote this song, and I'm wondered many times when I read the words if he was on his way away from God when he wrote it. If he was drifting away from God, drifting away from Jesus, far from his courts of love, oh, do you see a lifeboat sails from the ports above? Then his mourning, the mourning of the chorus, it mourns to my heart tonight. Oh, I am lost forever. Lost amid Findish Bend. Oh, can there be no lifeboat on the dark ocean of sin? You read the words of 409. It was sung last night. Eternity. D.O. Teasley wrote it. Folks, it is beyond my comprehension. Yet again, I understand the wiles of the devil. And I understand the lengths that he will go to destroy a soul. But it just absolutely beyond my comprehension how a man can write 409 when he considered eternity, the awfulness, the longness, the foreverness, and then lose his own soul when he come down to the end of his life. This whole thing about being ready to meet God is serious, isn't it?
Yes.
It's very serious. Serious to every one of us. And if we're saved tonight, that's wonderful. But doesn't mean we're safe, does it? We got to keep working, saints. We got to keep digging. We got to keep watching and praying. We got to keep on the whole armor of God. We got to keep fighting. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. Keep fighting for your soul. And while we're at it, saints, let's not just fight for our souls. Let's fight for the souls of our children and our grandchildren.
Yes.
And those that we love and those that are lost out there in this world that God has withdrawn Himself from. Lord, help us tonight. Serious. There is a final judgment, a final time when every one of us, you know, I don't have to give an account for you. Thankfully, you don't have to give an account for me. But we give an account for each individual. We give an account for ourselves with God, don't we? May the Lord help us tonight. Consider these simple words that have been spoken. Consider God. Consider His wrath. Consider His love for your soul. You know, years ago, I remember preaching a message somewhat like this, and I felt really bad about it, and I said, I'd like to be preaching a love message. And I was reminded, this is a love message. God loves you. He loves every one of us. This is a love message. Now, I have set before you this day life and death. What are we going to choose tonight? This meeting will soon be over. Some of you look forward to having this meeting every year. We appreciate that. But what is it profiting? Are there anyone getting help to their souls? Are we doing business for eternity? That's what these meetings are for.
Yes, that's right.
That's why people travel the distances and come with burdens. That's why we get up and plead for souls. But we just sit there. We don't make any changes. We don't do nothing. Fortunately, most of you are still here from last year. But it doesn't mean you'll be here next year.
That's
right. Doesn't mean that.
That's true.
We need to consider our ways tonight. Amen.
Amen.